The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Exemptions for Irish can no longer be awarded on the basis of psychologists' reports. That's what schools across the country are being told. The number of post-primary school pupils given an exemption from studying Irish last year was almost double the number granted an exemption before the pandemic. So what's going on? Well, I'm joined by Carl O'Brien, education editor of the Irish Times, who's been writing about this in his paper today, and by Professor Portigo Dear, deputy dean of the Institute of Education at DCU. Good morning and welcome to you both. First of all, Carl, give us the bones of this story. What exactly is the department saying?
Yeah, so Irish is mandatory at school, primary and secondary, but a student can apply to their principal for an exemption under exceptional circumstances. So these are, broadly speaking, having a learning difficulty or having been educated outside of the state. So they are the two grounds. Mm. Now, school principals have reported that they're receiving educational psychologist reports, typically costing, 600, 700, 800, even more. And these reports would often recommend exemptions for the study of Irish. And they might typically cite issues like learning difficulties, but other issues like anxiety or school refusal. Now, the system for exemptions actually ruled out psychologists' reports a few years ago, but that's not widely known. And there's a lot of principals who've been recruited in more recent times who wouldn't be as familiar with that change. So the department felt compelled to remind schools that actually you cannot use a psychologist report. Yeah. And suddenly the feeling from principals is that they do feel under pressure from parents because they've got these reports. They are recommending an exemption from Irish, but actually the rules are you cannot rely on the psychologist's report. You have to rely on a persistent difficulty in learning Irish. That's if it's for additional needs, and you have to have evidence of that over a long period of time with low test scores in reading and comprehension and other literacy indicators. And the psychologist's report can make a recommendation, but it cannot be relied on for that exemption.
Well, what's interesting to me is I didn't know this, that it's the principal who grants the exemption, not the department.
Yeah, once upon a time, the department played a key role. Now it's really been devolved to principals. And that is a bugbear for a lot of principals because they do feel under pressure because it is, the family or the student or the parent who will want the principal, will see them as solely responsible, and they are. But the principals would say, well, listen, we have to enact the exemption system based on the official rules and the circulars. And that is leading to tensions for sure between principals and parents and students
now,
themselves.
It strikes me that it's fundamentally unfair that if you have a child who is genuinely struggling with the Irish language and perhaps with French or Italian or whatever other language is being taught in the school, but they can't afford the private visit to the psychologist to prepare the report, you don't have the 700 or 800 euro, then that child struggles on while someone who's well able to actually cope with those subjects gets an exemption because their parents can afford it.
It's true. It has led to a lot of inequity, certainly in the past. And, there were, anecdotal reports of kind of a cottage industry once upon a time with psychologist reports being used, particularly more affluent parts of the city and the country where reports were being used. But as the rules have changed, though it's not necessarily widely known, and parents are getting these reports, and it does lead to an expectation.
So this is to give the principals the kind of the weapon they need to say, I'm sorry, this is not enough. When
Absolutely,
this psychologist report comes in, the principal can say, look, and here's the letter from the department. I'm sorry, Mrs. O'Shea, I cannot give you an exemption for young Roisin.
You can see that, absolutely. And you can see it in actually records that were released under the Freedom of Information to ourselves in the Irish Times. So this is where the department contacted about 50 schools which had very high rates of exemptions. And you can see in the responses from the schools to the department where they're explaining why. They are saying, for the most part, the exemptions are on the basis of students being from abroad and students with genuine additional needs. But there is also a cohort of students where these psychological reports are produced and principals have been awarding exemptions. Now, I think it is a minority. I think for the most part, the exemptions are increasingly very genuine and said, we have a more diverse classroom, more students from abroad. And in fact, we have a classroom which has far more, it's much more inclusive. We've students who might have gone to special schools once upon a time are now in mainstream to a large extent. So the classroom has changed. So there is a genuine reason behind the increase in exemptions, but certainly there is that cohort where the psychologist reports have been putting a different dimension.
Is there any pattern that can be discerned in the schools which have offended the department in this way?
What you typically find is that there are schools who might be in a more disadvantaged area, or there are schools in a town where you have there's three secondary schools and two would be more, quote, academic, and the other school would be focused more on a more vocational approach towards education. And so those schools will typically have much higher numbers of both international students and students with additional needs. So those principals are arguing that, you know, we have very valid reasons for awarding these exemptions
criteria. Time was when you talk about international students and would be typically the children of diplomats and so on working in Ireland, or people, high rollers coming in to work in Irish companies. But of course now, with significant migration into the country from, you know, asylum seekers and refugees and so on, you've got a cohort of children who are going to very ordinary schools, but who have not, up to the age of 12, ever had any association with the Irish language.
Yeah, and it's worth, I think, noting, you know, that the exemption system was introduced quite a long time ago, and it was in a different era, and the classroom was much less diverse at the time, and you had far fewer students with additional needs. That has changed a lot, and many would argue we're reaching a tipping point where if we have so many students getting exemptions, well, you know, that is creating an unfairness, and really we should be not just reviewing the exemption system, but also, how are we teaching Irish? Because why is it that we accept that so many students with additional needs or students from outside the country should not learn Irish? Should we not have a system which actually meets students where they are, which focuses more on the use of, you know, technology and other teaching methods to really fulfill the potential of all students? Because at the end of the day, you know, the Irish language is an essential part of our culture and our identity. And surely in terms of students leaving schools, they should have some knowledge or appreciation or even love for the language.
All right, Carl, thank you very much for that. Now, Professor Portico Deer, Deputy Dean at the Institute of Education at DCU, listening to that conversation. Portico, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. And just to say, I'm no longer Deputy Dean at the Institute of Education. I'm retired the last just over a year now.
Can I call you Deputy Dean? Deputy Dean Emeritus.
Very good.
Okay. So,
Thank you very much, Pat.
Let's talk about the reasons for this increase, because 2.5% of all post-primary students were exempted in 1999, and that's up to 13.5% in 2023. That is an absolutely astronomical increase.
Yeah, absolutely, Pat. And I think Carl has laid out the background very well there. And I think his final point really about questioning the whole need for exemptions, the whole exemption system, that's where I'd be coming on this, and was very vocal with colleagues on this in 2019 when the department changed its policy and shifted the responsibility from the department itself to the school principals to make decisions on this. And as Carl has said, the exemptions were introduced in the 1970s in a completely different time where we didn't have special education teachers or have anything like the provision we have now for special education to support students who have learning difficulties and even diagnosing those learning difficulties. And I would maintain, and many others as well, that the sort of the 2.5% in 99 on the grounds of learning literacy difficulties would be, you know, around the right proportion, 2-3%. And then I would look upon students coming from abroad in a different category. But just to focus on the students with significant learning difficulties, it's not just with Irish, as Carl has stated, but it's actually across the curriculum. So the basis for an exemption isn't for a test in Irish, it's a test in literacy and assessments. Hmm. And I think, as you pointed out, and the department recognised in 2019 that it would be unfair that students or parents who could access a psychological assessment outside of the school or privately, you know, and had the means to do that, left others in an unfair position. So that was done away with at that time. Which is welcome at one level, yeah.
Yeah, no, I was going to ask you about the wonder of a student who gets an exemption in Irish and who's absolutely brilliant at French. Go figure.
So there's no, that's the problem, you know, what's the basis for the exemptions? And the basis was, going back to 50 years ago, was that children in special with moderate and profound special education needs were educated separately in special schools, and Irish wasn't on the curriculum. So that was, that's kind of the basis. And then the lines got blurred as students with needs, special education needs, became integrated. So there's no research evidence. There's no such thing as a language learning disability. There's no research evidence to back that up. And most countries internationally, they don't know what exemptions are. When I meet my counterparts at conferences over the years and ask them, you know, thank you, this is an issue close to my heart. So I ask them, you know, what do you do when children have? And they look at me kind of, and it takes a while for me to explain what we do in Ireland. And their immediate reaction is, oh, why do you do that? Do you not have inclusive approaches to education? So in other words, do the teachers not adapt their teaching to meet the needs of the students? And I said, well, we do have, in theory, an inclusive approach to education, but when it comes to Irish, we have this exemption system. So most people are in disbelief that we have this. So Ireland is an outlier. And your reference there to the modern foreign languages. So in 2021, the students now with learning literacy difficulties, almost two-thirds of them, 64.5% of them, are studying a modern foreign language at post-primary, which to me just reinforces that notion that there isn't any reason why children can't learn languages.
Now, obviously, the teaching of Irish is greatly flawed. I mean, the emphasis being on, it used to be very much an academic kind of subject, the Tishil Ginnadhuk and the Mo Canaillic and all the rest of it, whereas modern European languages would be conversational, initially moving on to sophisticated grammar and so on. And also the lived experience that people can have going to Spain or Italy or France and kind of being immersed in popular culture in those countries, not as easy to do, strangely enough, in our own country. But the question is about Irish and the way it's taught and whether it's difficult to achieve high points in the points race for the CAO using Irish as one of the topics, whether it's easier to use something else. And that's why they want to free up study time for those other topics rather than Irish.
Yeah, I think I agree with your analysis totally there. We need to improve how it's taught. There's a commitment in the programme for government just published to work towards aligning Irish language curriculums with the Common European Framework of Reference to enhance spoken Irish at primary, post-primary and third levels. So if we could work towards that, that would be a major step forward. To reward students for their skills in spoken Irish. So an Oral Irish test at junior cycle would be most welcome and would enable teachers to focus on oral as well as some literacy, but oral language, and to reward students you know, in state examinations for that. So that's one of the issues, definitely, is around the teaching of the language. And as you say, the Leaving Cert points race then has an impact on choices, strategic choices that people make. And many parents see strategically then that the best thing for their child is, if going into first year, I can get an exemption from my child. Yeah. Then
anyway, this new guidance from the department may change all of that. Professor Padraig O'Dea, Deputy Dean of the Institute of Education at DCU Emeritus. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.